From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 8th day of May 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. We'll look at the ag cash grain markets with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana, and hear all about the agricultural weather from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way today, we'll take another look in Washington, D.C., and see what kinds of legislation will be up next week and over the next month or so as it's related to the farm economy. Farm Bill is in discussion right now and will be next week. Full details as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby contract for the May soft red winter wheat at $6.96¾. Down 2¾ today, July at 7.06. That finished 3 cents lower, and September at 7.15¼, down 3.5. December contract, 7.32¾, 3 lower, and the March contract at 7.48, down 2.5 cents. The hard red July at 7.60¼, up 2¼. May futures in the corn pit, $0.01½ lower at $6.75. July at 6.33, down 7. September 5.53¾, down 7¾. And December corn at 5.32, down 7¼. March contract 5.42¾, 7¼ lower for next year. Soybeans now, nearby contract. May futures $14.79, up 15½. July 8½ higher at $13.90¾. August finished unchanged, and the September at 12.57 was down $0.01½. November beans 12.14¼, down $0.25. In January at 12.21¾½ lower. May futures were in the bean meal up $9 for the day, and the bean oil at 43 cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the nearby August at $120 even. That's down a buck and a nickel. October at 123.12½, down $1.15. August feeders at 145.32½, down $1.22½. In September at 146.95, down 97½. Lean hogs finished at 91.77½ in the June, 47½ cents higher. July up 52½ at 91.90. This, of course, is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon. June contract at $96.48 a barrel, up 86 cents. The RBOB gasoline at 285 6/10. That's up 2 3/10. And ethanol trading 258 1/2, up 2 2/10. The difference between the two now at 27 1/10 of a cent. That's just about 1/10 of a cent different than it was yesterday. And natural gas at $3.97 4/10, 5 1/2, or rather 5 4/10 of a cent higher for the afternoon. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.91 3/10 of a cent a gallon, down 1¢ 3/10. June gold futures at $1,473.70 an ounce, up $24.90. And the U.S. dollar trading 81.9. That's down 0.34 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high near 81 degrees. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers, a thunderstorm after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 56. Showers and thunderstorms are likely tomorrow during the day with a high of 78. Chance of precipitation on Thursday at 70%. Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms are likely, cloudy and a low of 55. A chance of rainfall set at 60% in the area. On Friday, a 30% chance, cloudy and 67 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy and 50. Saturday, partly sunny and 67. Saturday night, mostly clear and 43. Sunday, sunny skies and 60. Sunday night, clear and 41. Monday, sunny and 65. Monday night, clear and 48. And on Tuesday of next week, 77 degrees and mostly sunny skies. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I am Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us for the afternoon is Jackie Vake. Vakes, she's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I've been traveling just a bit, and I know you've been on the road as well. I took a tour of Champaign County yesterday, south towards Monticello. Does not look like they will move for quite a while, but to the north and to the west, or rather to the east, if you head out Flatville Road from Thomasboro, for those who know where that is, towards Potomac and Armstrong and those areas, they were running yesterday, at least two or three guys, and I saw at least one planter in the field. They arrested a Hatfield cultivator. So things are starting to move just a bit.
Well, they are. We were over in Kansas and Missouri over the weekend, and there was nothing running that we could see, you know, along I-29 or any place like that. In fact, there were a lot of, you could see it had rained very hard, you know, a lot of erosion. But in talking to some farmers over there, they're saying, you know, they need at least 4 to 5, maybe 6 solid days of good, you know, good weather. And they've had a few days now, a lot of cloudiness, but you know, hopefully the rain that's showing up on the radar at this point in time will pass them by, because we certainly need to get planting. I talked to the guys out in the East Coast. They've been hitting it pretty hard. They did get a little rain shower on it, so they were pretty happy about that. Actually, Pennsylvania probably looks to be the best out of anybody on the East Coast as far as having made some progress on planting this week, but we'll know more on Monday night.
We're not the only place around the planet that's trying to put a corn crop in the ground. There are some other folks. The Chinese say they're behind and delayed in part because of rainfall, too, I guess.
Well, that's what they're saying, and they're saying, you know, that's in the northwestern part. And then in some of their other parts, they're just having tough times, too. And you never can count on what the information coming out of China really means, you know, because there's a lot of variation, and there's, you know, it's a big country. So it's just like being in Brazil. We have 3 USDA attachés down there, and they can't agree on what's going on. So I don't think it's probably much different there. China also is, and it isn't quite as big a deal as it was when it first was announced, but the poultry sales, they say, are down there about 80% from where they had been due to the bird flu.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's impacting somewhat of our corn market. Not that much, because at this point in time, they're not just gigantic buyers of corn from us, but it's just in the background, basically, is what it is.
And then when you take a look at the marketplace and you discuss USDA, of course, the next big issue is the WASDE numbers. Those are due out at 11 o'clock on Friday morning of this week. And it will be the first time for this year that USDA puts out a set of numbers for the current growing season.
Well, that's right. And everybody's sitting on the edge of their seat waiting to find out. You know, when you look at the ranges, Dave and I talked about a little bit this morning, you know, the range for the carryout number, average guess right now is anywhere between 1.99 on one service and 2.0 on another. So they're pretty close. But the range is from 1.38 all the way up to 2.4 billion bushels of carryout. And so, you know, I think everybody will breathe a sigh of relief when 11 o'clock comes and we actually have some idea on the corn side of it. On the beans, you know, there really doesn't appear as if it's going to be too far off from what they were on their February estimates. Their average guess is 236, but, you know, there's big ranges there, too. It goes all the way up to 325. Wheat, 658, also very close. So, you know, I'll just be really happy to have that behind us and maybe give us somewhat of an idea of what USDA is thinking about the impact on acreage that, you know, that the slower planting pace is having.
Do you think they'll actually change that number very much, if at all?
If I said yes, I'd probably be lying because I don't have a clue as to what they're going to look at.
Yep.
The only thing I think that we could possibly see happen is I think they'll stay at 97.2 million acres,
right,
which was their original guess, but I do think they could reduce the yield.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's the more important number anyway.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't think acreage is going to change, but one thing we do know is that, you know, when we have slow planting pace, we'll usually see about a switch of 1 million acres of corn over to beans. But, you know, we have some really great insurance situations, so I could see guys planting corn right up until the insurance date, knowing that they have good levels. You know, I think the only thing that we're pretty much guaranteed here from Iowa to the east is that we're probably going to have a rather lazy rooted crop, just because we've had so much moisture and we have heavy, heavy soil, topsoil moisture. Doesn't have to really go looking for anything. And, you know, you look at the guys on the opposite side going from Iowa to the west, and you're looking at guys who are continuing in a drought. I mean, I know, you know, there's some rain on the radar for them, and immediately the trade says, oh, my goodness, everything's wonderful. But we have not dealt with the reduction in irrigation that they're facing for this year or anything of that sort. So, you know, we're thankful when we see rain out there. They are far from out of the woods.
And you remind us that when you say a lazy root system, that it won't be all that deep, at least to begin with. And if it has to chase moisture, it might not have the ability to grow that deep that fast.
Yeah, you're very right. And I think, again, what comes out so loud and clear is moisture at this time of year helps, but it doesn't make the crop. Everything will be dependent on what we get between that June and that July time frame for both beans and corn. And so, you know, if the heat turns on and the water turns off, well, we could have, it could cause problems. If we get timely rains, we should be good.
Turn your attention to the old crop for just a bit, because the WASDE figures were deal with both old and new crop. You talked about the carryout numbers for corn for new crop, but what do you think, if anything, they will change in the old crop numbers?
Well, the average guess is coming in at 749. We were at 757 in April, so, you know, I personally didn't think they would probably change very much. I figured if they did change anything, it would probably be offset by imported corn, because we do know there still continues to be corn coming in to Mobile, Alabama, as well as on the East Coast. And so it'll be disappointing. Probably the ranges there, too, were quite wide, 680 all the way up to 800. So, you know, nobody can really outguess what they're going to do. But the one thing we can see is that spread. When you look at the May, July spread right now, the minute we started to actually price corn off of July, you saw the basis get much, much wider out in the countryside, and it obviously has enticed some sales because we see selling coming in against the July contract, and that spread went from about 20 cents right now to 42 cents. But one of the interesting twists is going to come on Tuesday when we actually see the May contract go off the board, and will this July contract have the ability to move up to the levels that May leaves us at? So it's going to be... We have a number of things to really pay close attention to, not only the WASDE report, but also what happens once that May contract goes off.
And finally, anything for the livestock producers today?
Well, it wasn't a nice day at the livestock. Let's just put it that way, okay?
Yeah.
It was really a poor day. What I would say, there's a number of things I think that our livestock producers really have to pay close attention to. One is the slaughter situation when it comes to dairy and when it comes to the cow-calf operations out west. We know that guys are losing money if they did not hedge, you know, live cattle far enough ahead. I'm hearing stories out in the west right now where the banks are coming and saying, you can't buy any more cattle until we get through this, which is kind of unprecedented, so that tells you that things are pretty tough. And the dairy situation is one where we could continue to see more liquidation of, you know, cull cows, older cows, anything to cut back, because the alfalfa crop in some areas is doing very poorly, and especially if someone took a late crop off, which a lot of guys did last year because they missed out on second crop. And so it's a circumstance where I think it's imperative that if you're going to do something in the cattle market, you have to first really push a pencil to the numbers to see that you're going to make some money. The other thing in the background, Todd, is, you know, down in Texas in the panhandle, for years they've had a premium on cattle, and suddenly they're a negative basis. And so, you know, that last plant that closed was down in the panhandle. It crushed us on price, and from the people I've been talking to, I wouldn't be surprised to see another plant close down there. So, you know, if guys are going to step into this market, they need to actively hedge themselves.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. That's Jackie Vick. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County, Illinois. If you'd like to hear again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Don't forget, you can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. In today's agricultural news, there are differing opinions on how quickly a farm bill can be moved through Congress. We'll hear more from Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa a bit later in this program. But for the moment, know that Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid had already stated he wants the Senate to take up the farm bill this month, with Congress scheduled to begin the Memorial Day recess on the 24th. Of course, that doesn't leave much time to move the bill to the floor. Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow has announced the committee will hold its farm bill markup next Tuesday. That's the 14th day of May. And according to New York Senator Kristen Gillibrand, the bill could move to the floor next week as well. Gillibrand believes there will be small changes in the committee, but not many. Speaking of the Farm Bill, there's a group that's crafted a crop insurance compromise, a diverse group of 44 conservation, environmental, crop insurance, and agricultural organizations have come together in distributing a position paper that outlines a compromise to link conservation compliance and crop insurance premium assistance and to oppose means testing, payment limitations, or premium subsidy reductions for the crop insurance program. The recommendations have been submitted to the leadership of both agricultural committees for their consideration during this new farm bill debate. According to a letter to Senate ag leaders, the position provides an effective farm and natural resource safety net. We'll stay in Washington, D.C., but move from farm bill to moving farm commodities and others, for that matter. The Water Resources Development Act of 2014 is under consideration. Several agricultural groups joined together in writing a letter to members of the Senate to stress the importance of the legislation's passage. According to the groups, passage of WERDA, as it's known, would authorize new projects for flood protection, port improvements, and upgrades to the nation's aging locks and dam infrastructure. They say it would also improve U.S. transportation capacity, relieve growing congestion on U.S. highways, and foster a more competitive transportation system. 95% of U.S. ag exports and imports are transported through U.S. harbors. These exports and navigation activities support more than 400,000 jobs, the letter says. But it also goes on to say agricultural groups note that 57% of the locks on the upper Mississippi and Illinois river system were built in the 1930s with a projected 50-year lifespan. And finally today from Washington, D.C., two former secretaries of agriculture believe Japan's decision this week to seek inclusion in the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations could be a game changer for U.S. agriculture and good news for the country's overall economy. Now, Nebraska Senator Mike Johanns and former Congressman Dan Glickman note Japan has strong demand for the ag products. America's farmers and ranchers can supply U.S. agricultural exports to Japan topped some $13.5 billion last year. That's 8 times higher than U.S. exports to Vietnam, the next biggest agricultural market among the TPP nations that don't already have free trade agreements with the United States. According to Johanns and Glickman, the U.S. was able to achieve these trade levels despite Japan's history of placing restrictions on some key imports. Up next here on the Closing Market Report, Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa has some thoughts on the Farm Bill. Senate passage of the Farm Bill is looking more and more unlikely this month. That, according to longtime Ag Senator Chuck Grassley, despite what you just heard in the Ag News segment, setting up a possible clash with other floor priorities in June. Grassley agrees a week-long Memorial Day recess at the end of the month and Senate Ag Committee delays on the Farm Bill now set for action next Tuesday have dim chances to pass a bill on the floor in May.
I'd be surprised if this bill could be done in 4 or 5 days on the Senate floor. So we can start out, but I don't know whether it'd be done by the break.
But June is when Senate leaders want to turn full attention to immigration reform. Grassley insists Senate procedures are flexible.
When we come back in June, you could have happen what happened on this internet tax bill Thursday. It could have been completed Thursday, but well into the evening. They made unanimous consent that it be final yesterday. Those same things can be worked out on the ag bill.
But first, the farm bill must fit within budget limits. Top farm groups say the latest committee delays were due to budget scoring difficulties. Should the expected revenue coverage, target price, and marketing loans not fit into the budget, all bets could be off on the farm bill schedule. Another issue, a controversial ag amendment backed by animal rights groups and much of the ag industry, which, if successful, could endanger the bill. Grassley says the chair's draft won't have it.
I think it could jeopardize it, and I think that you will not find it in the mark, so it'll have to be amended in, and I would assume that it might have a tough time being amended in, not just because of the ag issue, but because a lot of people in agriculture feel that we don't need somebody someplace else telling us how to raise animals.
Grassley argues that producers not concerned about their animals aren't looking after their own pocketbooks, and he suggests the ag amendment could lead to further controls of the animal agricultural industry. He says there's a feeling that those promoting controls are against all animal agriculture.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. In just a moment, we'll talk with the folks up at Logansport, Indiana. They're at the Anderson's Climbers facility. Just a reminder that if you're in the field this afternoon here in East Central Illinois or within our listening area across Illinois and Indiana or listening live, make sure you do take some time, because I know you're going to hit it pretty hard, to take a nap in the afternoon. I know that seems a little odd, but if you take 20 minutes in the afternoon, you'll be much better to go far later into the evening. Let's check in now to see who's on the line with us from the Andersons at their Climbers facility. Good afternoon to you. This is Todd. Well, looks like they're not there. They were supposed to be. That's okay. We won't worry about them at the moment. Just know that we usually check in with the Andersons from the Climbers facility on a Wednesday afternoon. A couple of other items. If you have not checked out our website, and you'll be busy and maybe not next to the radio, you can always pick us up off your smartphone. That's at m.willag.org or just willag.org. And you can listen to all of our agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. It's a great way to catch up on what's happening in the marketplace. And if you don't have a smartphone, can't get to us on the radio, dial this number, 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. And update it at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day, either with the current trading numbers or the closing numbers and a bit of analysis. Back in a couple minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's National Coconut Cream Pie Day. Coconut is first mentioned in English print in 1555. It comes from the Spanish and Portuguese word coco, which means monkey face. The origin of the coconut is subject to controversy, with South Asia, South America, and New Zealand, among other nations, all claiming to be the oldest source. By the way, coconuts are not just for eating. A partial list of its uses include making of potting compost, charcoal, shirt buttons, cosmetics, and for sound effects. On this day in agricultural history in 1842, Emil Christian Hansen was born. He was a Danish botanist who developed new methods to culture yeast. He revolutionized the beer industry and proved that there are different species of yeast. He refused to patent the method, but instead made it available for free to other brewers. In 1855, John Gates was born. Gates was an inventor, promoter, and barbed wire manufacturer. In 1886, Coca-Cola was first sold to the public at Jacob's Pharmacy in Atlanta, Georgia. By the way, until 1905, Coke was marketed as a brain and nerve tonic. And in 1945, Andrew Sherrett was born. He was an expert on the origins of agriculture. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is the 8th day of May. On the phone line with us is Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. A whole bunch of farmers would like to get into the fields here. I think they probably will this afternoon, maybe tomorrow, depending on rainfall, I suppose. Out west, they have less of a chance. Tell me about it, please.
Well, it certainly looks as though you're right, that the shower activity that's going to occur today is going to be pretty much an erratic distribution. I don't think we're going to see a lot of areas get enough precipitation to perpetuate the problems out there, but we're still looking for better drying conditions so that we can get everybody into the fields, and that is going to be put off for still yet another 2 days. The conditions really look a lot better as we get focused in on the weekend and at least the first half of next week. I think we can string 3 to 5 days in a row of dry weather across the region. And the biggest concern is the rain that we get here tomorrow into Friday. During that period of time, unfortunately, there's going to be some moderate amounts of rain that occur from maybe a part of southeastern Iowa and northeastern Missouri over to Ohio. Unfortunately, it is in the same areas that have been hit with some of the greatest rains in recent weeks, and so it will be a setback. But it does look like we'll see a drier weather pattern setting up after this. Now, rain amounts here with this event tomorrow into Friday will likely run a couple tenths of an inch upwards to 3/4 of an inch, but there will be a number of locations from maybe the Missouri-Iowa border over to northern Ohio that will get upwards to maybe an inch to an inch and a half of moisture. So those areas will be, again, shut out for a while. But the rest of the region doesn't get enough rain to seriously set us back. But with the drier weather that's coming up here this weekend and next week, we should be able to get some people back into the fields fairly quickly, and an even better chance when we get into about Tuesday and Wednesday of next week when the temperatures are really quite warm again.
Yeah, I tweeted this morning that farmers would be running here, and I got two tweets back almost immediately because I used the hashtag Plant13. Both came from that Iowa-Northern Missouri border. They must be truly just really wet in that area.
You're absolutely right. That little corner or portion of the Midwest is in probably the worst shape at the moment, but they will be seeing better conditions evolving as we get involved in next week. There is a frontal system that will cut through the U.S. Midwest during the middle part of next week, which again will set us back just a little bit. But our temperatures for most of the week next week will be warmer, and we'll have better drying conditions in between the rain events.
Hey, one final note. I did see something from China that suggested they were suffering setbacks in terms of rainfalls and planting delays as well. What do you see there?
You know, China sometimes gets a little excited, and sometimes the way they write their press releases is a little misleading.
I wondered about that.
Just being a little bit polite here. No, I think most of China's in fairly good shape. The northeast provinces have had quite a bit of moisture here this spring, and they are a little behind. They were also cooler than normal. So like the Midwest, they're behind in some of their field work, but it's far from a crisis. And that's the wet side. And the areas that are dry, they're in the North China Plain, which is kind of the northern part of wheat country and also in corn-producing areas. And, yeah, they've kind of dried down, but it's not normal. I'm sorry, that's the wrong terminology. Let's say it's not unusual for them to be a little dry in early May. Their seasonal rains don't usually kick in until late May and June, and that leaves plenty of time for this drier bias to get fixed before there's a real crisis there.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Have a great afternoon. Stay safe. I'm Todd Gleason.